Well, Attitudeful Podcast today is honored to interview a TED Talk author and book author as well that really impressed me while doing research as a translator that I'm always studying and reading many things. And today with us from Buenos Aires to London, Chris Lovett. Thank you. Hey. Welcome.
Thank you, Dolores. It's lovely to meet you. Lovely to converse and chat with you. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Thank you. I love your accent. When I studied English, I studied British English, you know, from my early childhood. And it's so beautiful because it's always my second tongue. You know, it's not my mother tongue. So I love the way you speak. Where are you specifically located, Chris?
Well, thank you for that. Not many people say that, Dolores. They always kind of look at and listen to me again. You're not quite either or. You're not quite a Cockney. You're not quite full British.
No.
I tend to miss a lot of letters out. But so at the moment, I'm currently right in the middle between London and Brighton, which is on the south coast. So it's the furthest you can go down. So I'm right in the middle between the city and the sea. So at any point I can travel an hour into the center of London, which is, as you know, probably very beautiful. And then I can do the other way, where I can travel 45 minutes south and be by the sea. So I've got the luxury and the luck, I suppose, of being able to go to both if I need to.
Amazing, strategically located.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, Chris, your TED Talk earlier this year, was it April 2022, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That is less busy, more impact.
That's it.
It's really mind blowing because, you tell us briefly, what do you think moved you to do that, to, in a nutshell, try to express all your work about less is progress and all that.
Yeah, thank you, Dolores. I was really kind of fascinated with workplace cultures at the time. So the story goes, my about 2015, 2016 time, my life was very, very consumed, always very busy. I had lots of stuff. Lots of stress, lots of things. And actually all of that more, or view of more in life, didn't really help me achieve the things that I wanted to. So things like going traveling, I couldn't do the thing that I wanted to do, even though I had all the stuff. I had, you know, very, very busy, very stressful, very successful life, but I still felt unfulfilled. And it was when I started to get rid of things that I then started to actually become the real version. Actually, do the aspirations and reach the goals that I really wanted to reach. So so I kind of took that concept into work and into a professional context. And I use this kind of what I like to call a minimalist mindset, where I look at things and go, is it really essential, or is it really adding value? And if it isn't, let's just question why we do things. Or why we buy that thing, or what are we going to need it for? What are we using things for? And what I found is the more times I kind of looked at work, I realized that we were all just doing a lot of work that didn't really make any difference. You know, we were always really, really busy. Everyone is ridiculously busy at the moment, but doing what? And for what impact? And so what I found is that there was lots of input, lots of output, not that much outcome. And so I did a few experiments where I just kind of didn't do work, and I wanted to see what would happen, and nothing really happened. And that kind of just confirmed to me that actually a lot of the work that I was doing, you know, spending time, energy, hijacking other people's time for their help, didn't really lead anywhere. But because I felt busy, I felt important. And so it was kind of just removing that sense of being busy and actually just trying to make a difference instead. So now my kind of days are spent supporting really, really busy people to try and be less busy so they can actually have more of an impact on the world rather than just be caught up going to meetings or responding to emails all the time.
Exactly.
So that's kind of how it all went. It started off with my home life, letting go of some of the stuff that I had in my home, to now letting go of these beliefs that if you're busy, you're important. But actually, if you're busy, you're just busy. Busy doing what?
Yes. And how difficult, because I think we share that among every culture, that always on, as you lovely indicate, the mentality or the mindset that you have to be always busy, because if not, like, you don't have a life. If you're not busy, you are like, poor, she's not busy. And how to change that? It's difficult. How to move forward to that more essential or intentional way of living.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And it's, there's some kind of psychology that we've maybe grown up with and been conditioned to believe and maybe not question. And some of those things may be in how we define success. And, you know, coming from a Western culture, you know, the definition that I was always taught in school and with my parents was that material objects meant success. So how big is your car? How big is your house? What title do you have at work? What's your salary like? Including maybe how busy you are. Because if you're really busy, that was maybe a portrayal that you were really important or that you were in demand. And actually, when we started to question all of those things, we started to think, well, maybe actually it's not the material possessions that defines my success. Actually, it's the things that I achieve. It's the impact I have on the people around me. It's the fulfillment I have. And again, just kind of taking that into work, it's like, what does a successful professional look like in a world that is full of chaos? You know, in a post-pandemic world where everything is completely changed. And actually, maybe our view of success has changed. You know, there's a guy who recently gave up his business, the guy who runs Patagonia. I'm not sure if you're aware of him.
Yes.
Yeah, so the
clothing brand. I heard about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he basically didn't want to be a billionaire because of all the... Now, if you're a billionaire, all of the bad things that come along with that, like, are you, you know, playing your part in society? Are you contributing? So whereas before, it used to be, I want to be on the rich list. I want to be as rich as possible. Now some people are going, I don't want to go anywhere near that.
Yeah,
because it means that it has a negative connotation. And that's now changed potentially. So, you know, my view of success is impact. You know, what difference have you made?
And depending on that.
Yeah. And actually, it could mean that you do one really amazing thing this week.
Yeah.
In comparison to your peers, where your peers have done 10 to 20 to 30 things today, but have they made a big enough impact? And that's just where I'm there now to question and go, actually, it's not about more anymore. It's maybe about doing less, but better.
Exactly. Yes. And also your book that came also last year, Discovery of Less, that I totally, totally loved it. And how to find that meaningful less, let's say. I don't know how to express it, because how to be content or satisfied with that, because sometimes we tend to, well, this is not enough, I need to do more. How to be at peace, you know, when doing that very well or better than the quantity.
I think you said the word there, which was quite key, which is enough. You know, how do you know what's enough? So there's some, I'm sure it's a few years old now, but there was some research done on how much money is enough in regards to a yearly salary. And I think this was done in the US. And so you can be happier if you earn a little bit more money. It gives you more comfort. You know, it gives you the ability to spend money on experiences with friends, etc. Up to a certain point, and I think at that time it was $80,000 a year. After $80,000 a year, the happiness didn't really move much at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the cutoff point. So there was a sense of actually earning loads more money didn't really make you any happier.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you move that along to do more things, genuinely make you happier. And that's the question now, you know, because you have to look after all those things. You have to store all of the things. You have to, you know, water all the things, put batteries in the things, fix the things, clean the things. And so actually all your time gets taken up by looking mm-hmm. after all of the purchases that you've done. And again, over the last 5 years, I've realized that everything that I've achieved has had nothing to do with how much stuff that I own. And compared to what I owned in maybe 2015, I own maybe a third of things like clothing, but yet my
essential, like basic things.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but my life fulfillment is massively increased. I have a working life that is amazing, that I've designed for myself. Friends, family, adventures, you know, experiments, all of these things add considerable value to my life. And actually I'm doing it without two-thirds of the things that I had before. So actually, were they really making me any better?
Yeah.
And so that was the kind of question, is like, so are the things and is the work around you making you better? Is it making a difference? And if it isn't, then you can just question that.
The power of the words, as we were talking before the interview, yeah. Because sometimes you think, you say, I need this, because if not, I won't be able to, I don't know, continue or evolving or growing. And as you said, sometimes you just need to be you and to move with what you have, but yeah. With what you have. Not more.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. You know, things like clothes, for example, that I guess we all do need a certain amount of clothes to stay warm. Clothes also have a space in mainstream society because they represent who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've noticed that your amazing red glasses and your amazing red shirt
thank you.
who you are, Dolores, right? So, you know, they are a representation of us. And, mm-hmm. You know, the more we have, the more variety we can show people. But when we get down to the nitty gritty, we sometimes think, well, actually, does this jumper that I'm wearing, does this represent who I really am? And actually, you know, am I really that interested in what other people think about my exterior? And rather, I would want them to get to know my interior and my thought process and things like that. And it's nothing to do with clothes. And there was this other experiment where there was a young lady who wore the same dress for a year to work in an office. And we used to go to an office. So a young lady who wore the same, I think it was red dress every day for
colorful.
A year.
Colorful, yes.
Yeah.
Not a black one.
No, exactly. And only one person noticed.
Wow.
So no one really paid any attention. So yeah, so that was, I don't know if it was the same dress that she had to wash every day or whether it's like multiple versions of the same dress.
Of the same.
But you get what I mean. Like, yeah, no one really paid any attention.
Yeah, sometimes, for example, also Steve Jobs, you know, that I think he always used I don't remember if it was a black t-shirt and a pair of jeans every single day, like not even thinking about what I'm going to wear today.
Obama was the same. He reduced the amount of colorful suits he had, so he didn't have to make that many decisions early on in the day because he wanted to use that energy to make more important decisions throughout the day. So why use all your energy early on in the morning trying to decide what you want to wear, because you want to use that energy later on in the day?
Yes. And also, Chris, you are also a travel lover. You are very adventurous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You travel a lot.
Yeah, I try to, because that was one of the most kind of life-changing experiences for me, was moving out of my comfort zone and traveling to places that I'd never been and kind of living in cultures that were completely foreign to me. And so I find that travel can be just as worthwhile experience as going on a course or reading a book or watching a film, because the amount of stories that you have when you come back from traveling are life-changing, and potentially you grow a lot more than if you were to just continue to work in the same place or doing the same type of thing. And there's one kind of view that I have in the world is around, if I'm employing someone, I would like to know where they've been in the world rather than what they've done, because the experiences you can have whilst traveling, things like problem solving, how to communicate with other people that are not your mother tongue, how to organize, how to budget, you know, all of these are transferable skills, and you're having to do them in a pressured environment where you have to deal with, you know, different temperatures, time zones, jet lag, you know, all of these other things that you've got going on at the same time. These are massively transferable skills when you then go into a world of work. And if I'm looking at a person who's been well traveled versus a person who's been potentially in the same job for 10, 15 years, I might have a choice now as to which person has got a better range of thought, you know, more diversity in the world and things like that. So yeah, that might be something to consider. And that's why I kind of love to travel as well.
You love it, to keep on always like being flexible and open and not comfortable, let's say.
That's it. And also to try all the food as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to try all the food and drink all the drink. And so yeah, that's me as well.
That makes you like stronger, you think, or more focused on what it's really necessary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It makes it more, you have a bigger view of the world. So it makes you more adaptable, and actually you tend to then put things into perspective. So a lot of us get really kind of bogged down with being busy or worrying about something that actually in the bigger scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But because we haven't really got that bigger view of the world, sometimes we tend to then catastrophize the small things and give them a lot, maybe more of our energy than they actually really, really deserve.
And I can't imagine your luggage, because you may travel very light.
Just a backpack, Dolores. Just the
essential.
Backpack. Yeah.
That's the best way to move in life, no? Like that, with less.
Yeah, I think so. You have to pay for it. You know, you have to pay for more. Yeah, the more you carry, it gives you pain. You know, pain on the back. You have to, if it weighs too much, you have to pay the airline the extra. You have to carry it around. So actually, yeah, it can cause you physical pain as well as the metaphorical pain that comes
very
along
literal
with.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's right, but it's something, not only the language may change, as you said, whether you are in France or Italy, different languages, but the culture itself in general, of course, every culture has its own characteristics, but we all have the same tendency to burden ourselves with more and more and traveling heavier instead of being as we are, as we came to the world. Lighter.
Yeah. Light. I mean, that's a great word. Yeah. Lighter. I mean, I think we can all be, you know, we'll try and be a little lighter in our personal lives and in our professional lives, because the reach and the impact that has is, can only be positive. I mean, if you think of it from a sustainability and planet and climate change perspective, the amount that we have consumed is far too much, and we don't really need it all. And so actually, by getting into the habit of buying less, working a little bit less, you get into the habit and you start to then see the ripple effect in your community. So your family might start to look at you differently and go, oh, okay, oh, Dolores has been selling some of her clothes, or maybe not buying as much. And actually she seems to be a lot happier. And so then they will start to copy you, and you'll inspire people around you. And then that will have a bigger impact in the community, because then the things you're not using or not buying means that they're not being made, or they're being used by people that can't afford those things, or, you know, so mm-hmm. we're continuing this circular economy. And, you know, at the moment, while we've, you know, I've met a lot of talented people recently, and my worry is that they're just going to get busy. And so all of their ideas are just going to get squashed by being in meetings all day, or feeling like they have to respond to emails within 5 minutes. So, yeah. So if people can have a little bit more space, be a bit more intentional, then hopefully we can be able to create something to get us out of this mess.
Exactly. Because if not, it starts there. Because if not, we are like machines, like everything is automated. Like we are doing and doing and doing and not even thinking what we are doing.
Well, no? Yeah, when we grew up, like maybe we were living in the industrial age where it was factories, you know, how many parts of the machine can humans create so we can build cars and build things and things like that. But now we need to think of work in a slightly different way, and actually how can we be more creative with the things that we've already got? And we don't have enough time in the day to do everything. So how do you pick the best things that are going to make the most difference? And although there's lots of things to do, there's always so many things to do at work. The work is infinite. It's never, ever going to stop. So trying to manage the work is an impossible task. And so we now need to just try to manage our energy and manage our time. So actually within the 8 hours that we're working in today, how many things can we really achieve? You know, realistically, without causing damage to us as individuals, or our relationships, or other people by burdening them with more tasks that are not really important, and then ultimately the planet by creating things that don't need to be there. So it has a ripple effect in so many areas of society.
It's like a global movement that you can begin and everything goes together. Exactly. Well, Chris, I really enjoyed talking to you and learning more about what really is less, the meaning, the true meaning of the word. Yeah. What do you have a word as a translator I wanted to ask you, or a phrase, a quote, something that nowadays is like making a big impact in your life?
Yeah, thank you, Dolores. I would say experiences instead of things.
Love it.
Yeah, so I use my resources, my time, my energy, my money, and I spend that on experiences rather than things. So that's one that I'm currently working on at the moment.
Amazing, like very intentional and true to you, what really matters. Well, we will, you are in your website, in your social media, Less is Progress is your site, right? For people to visit you, to subscribe to your newsletter, buy the book, of course, and watch your TED Talk if they don't have it already done so.
Your book is
available everywhere in Amazon.
Yep, it's everywhere. So you can you can go and get that if you like. And if you can't afford anything, just watch the TED Talk, and that you should be okay with that.
And but, read your articles and the freebies that you have on lessisprogress.com.
There are a lot of information there.
Very useful for people to begin moving out of the comfort zone and being more intentional with being happy with less, as you said.
Amazing.
Thanks a lot. We really enjoyed your talk, and we'll keep in touch, and everyone will try to reach you as well, Chris. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dolores.